Hello, family medic named Graham.
Hey, Graham.
Can we open this meeting with the wee version of the Serenity Prayer? God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Just for that. Thank you. I was really hoping we were going to do a lot of readings and stuff. In fact, whenever I got the call to speak up here, you know, it kind of caught me off guard because it was a number in my phone that I didn't recognize, and I thought it was someone calling about a softball team, and they were trying to register for our tournament or something. And when I called back and I was asked to speak, it caught me off guard a little bit, you know. And then when I asked, well, what time? They said, well, you're the main speaker, 8 o'clock. Well, I can't say my heart didn't skip a beat, and I kind of got scared for a second, but you know, all I have is my story, so, I mean, I just got to go with that. The truth works for me, you know, today. My clean date's August 17th, 2008. You know, before that, you know, I was an active drug addict. I'd been through the jails a lot of times. I'd been through rehabs a couple times. That stuff didn't really sink into me. You know, the consequences weren't really great enough for me to want to change anything. You know, I knew I had to, but, like, I just didn't really want to. I really thought I could hold on for a little bit longer. I thought I could just keep living my lifestyle because I was so used to it and I loved it so much. And I really did. I really loved my lifestyle. You know, and I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous before August of 2008. I think I came in. You know, I kind of think of it like a swimming pool, you know, like, at first, the first couple times through the rooms, I just kind of sat on the edge and, like, didn't go in the water, and then I came in one time, and I got my toes wet, but I wouldn't dive in, and then I came in, like, a third time, and, you know, I went in up to my waist, but I wouldn't put my head underwater, you know, I just wouldn't commit fully to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I just thought that there was always some other kind of way that I could get out of it, you know, and I could change my life in my time, and I thought there was some kind of person, place, or thing that would save me. You know, I thought that, like, this drug addiction thing was really just using too much. I didn't really think it was a disease, and I just didn't want to commit to it, you know. And, you know, and the last time I came in, whenever I was, you know, I was half in the rooms, I was half out of the rooms. You know, I'd come a lot, and I'd listen, and I'd participate, and I had a service commitment, and then I'd go to the bar. You know, and I just try to keep it from everybody, wouldn't tell you what I was really doing, what I was really about. You know, I still wanted the lifestyle, I still wanted the women, I still wanted, you know, just a fast life, and I just didn't want consequences, so I thought that I could save my face and my ass at the same time. But the basic text tells me that I can't do that. Eventually, though, what happened was I got a DUI for drinking and driving, and it put me back. At that point, I had a sponsor who I called sometimes, you know, when it was convenient for me. I had a home group, which I attended every week, you know, but I wasn't doing a 90 and 90. I was just doing, you know, 3 or 4 a week on my time. But I got this DUI after a meeting, a couple hours after the meeting. And I had a few phone numbers. I had a small Wii, and it was really embarrassing. And, man, was I filled with guilt. And that's when I, like, my life kind of hit me. It kind of slapped me in the face, and it said, look, if you keep going like this, it's just not going to get any better. I had some tough things I had to do at that time. I had to, you know, be honest with people. Had to be honest with my mother, who's been putting up with my shit for years. Had to be honest with my probation officer, who was used to chasing me around. So for me to actually go to him and tell him what I had done was a different thing. I had to be honest with the counselor at the outpatient that I was going to, you know, and I had to get honest all the way around, you know, and that's first step stuff for me, you know, being completely honest. It wasn't something I enjoyed doing, but that's where the growth begins, man. That's where the growth began for me. You know, I could keep denying my problem. I could keep denying everything going on in my life and keep lying to myself, and I just wouldn't have made any changes, you know. So I did this stuff. You know, I called my sponsor. I called a couple people, crying, you know, just feeling guilty. And, I mean, this is, this was a shock to me because it was alcohol. And, like, in my past, man, I was to the depths of, you know, I was shooting dope. I was, you know, smoking crack. Whatever it was, I was doing it for years, you know. And I was a little embarrassed because alcohol was the thing that brought me to my knees. But that's just my story. That's what it was. You know, I went into jail. I got a I got a light hit. I got a 7-day stay at the county jail for failure to abstain from alcohol because I was honest about it with my PO and stuff. And that was the most guilty I've ever felt going into jail. Like, on one hand, I'm happy because I was clean for about a week when I went in. And on the other hand, I was just more guilty than ever because, like, you know, I had some kind of reputation in the jail. You know, I come in with new felony charges every time I come in. And now I'm here for a 7-day, you know, tech hit for my probation. But the 7 days I spent in there, I got a couple letters from people in the program. And I was there just long enough to catch the NA-H&I meeting that came in. And I made a couple phone calls. And they weren't phone calls to my drug dealer this time. They were phone calls to people in the program. During that week, I was actually getting involved with the fantasy football league from other people in NA, which was a first for me. You know, I was just starting to kind of get associated with people in the rooms, like outside of the rooms. And that was cool to me, and that turned out to be really big in my life. That was a big turning point, was like getting involved with people that come to the rooms outside of the rooms, you know, because now I'm actually starting to build these bonds with people, and they're starting to know the real me and how I work and stuff. And that proved to be really beneficial throughout this recovery thing, because now that's what my life entirely consists of, is these bonds between people, different areas, different locations, you know, different ages, even, you know, even women. But I don't cross any lines with that, because I am committed to one woman myself. But, you know, I have friends in this program that, like, I'm involved in social activities with them, and that's really good for me, because that means I can do things that are fun, and I have friends to do them with, and I don't have to worry about, you know, my old friends bringing out my old behaviors. So I got out of jail, and, like, I had a new focus on recovery, and I started taking a lot more suggestions, and you know, I started working hard on going to meetings every day. And at the time, I wouldn't go on Sundays when the Steelers were playing, so I justified that for a couple years until eventually I did do 90 meetings in 90 days the right way. But I went to a lot of meetings. I probably averaged, you know, 2 meetings a day for almost the first year, you know. And I went to a lot of meetings, and I learned a lot of stuff. And the bottom line was, I was going to all these meetings, is I was staying clean for that time that I was in those meetings. And I was, you know, connecting with people, and I was hearing good stuff, and I was starting to, like, live a little bit clean. And, you know, the time adds up, and the change comes through the steps, though. You know, and I was starting to do all that. The first step, like I said, was that feeling of despair whenever I was going into jail, knowing that I didn't have to live like this anymore. And I knew that, like, if I take one, I'm done, no matter what it is. I finally could accept that in my life. And when I got out of this, you know, this little 7-day thing I did, you know, I had a long conversation with my sponsor, and we started working on, which I had already, you know, written step one, but we went over it again, and we started working on step two, because I really needed a higher power in my life. And, you know, whenever I got here, like, God was never a part of the picture of my life, you know, especially any kind of religious being, any kind of religious deity, that wasn't for me, and that actually kept me out of the rooms a little bit, but I'm not going to blame that being the reason, because it was just my unwillingness to learn anything new, you know, but the second step, that's all I could hear was power greater than myself, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean, like, I know what you're hinting at. And I was totally wrong, you know. It's any power that I can find that's greater than myself, and you know, it suggested it's loving and caring, and I had to work hard to find one. And then once I did, I realized I didn't have to work hard at all. It was right there in front of me the whole time. And I'm not going to get real specific about it, but I know if I can find one, anybody can, and everybody can. And you know, today it's one of my best tools I got, you know. Because when I'm all alone, I'm not alone. you know, that this program showed me that. I had been involved in service. I was a GSR at my home group, you know, through my clean date, which they let me keep my position, and because I was doing a pretty good job as a GSR. And, you know, I got to go to area service, and, you know, to this day, I still go to area service, you know, for subcommittees and stuff, but that's been a part of my program the whole time, you know, service. And, like I shared at the gratitude meeting, I mean, they said get in the middle and you won't fall off the edge, so I took them very seriously when they said that, because, like, I knew a change is what I needed. You know, I knew it wasn't just quitting drugs, because if that was what I needed to do, then I could go back to jail and, you know, I could run from the cops, they could put me back in jail, and I could sit there and I'd be fine. Well, that's not the kind of life I was looking for, you know? I was looking for a change so I could live outside of jail, outside of institutions, and actually live a life, not just an existence, but a life, you know? So, some of the things in the beginning that really helped me out was like the Just for Today, the reading, the pink reading that we all do, where it says Just for Today, I will live and enjoy life without the use of drugs. You know, and I really took that one to heart, and that was my favorite reading, and I would always try to get it if I was at the meeting early enough. And I really try to internalize that principle, like Just for Today, because like my pride, my ego, it had been such a burden for me for a long time, like, you know, that was the thing that I really wanted to change right off the bat, you know, because I just knew that that was my downfall. I'd let my ego get in the way, and I'd be off to the races again. So I really tried to, like, learn how other people were doing it and how they could keep such a humble demeanor about them, and it, like, made me sick sometimes. People were always so, like, they were all about helping others, and it was like, man, what's your problem? And, like, today... I'm not going to go to today. Getting involved in service is a big part of my step two, because that's where I could, like, start to be of use to others and not all about that self-centered self, that the selfish desires and stuff that I'd always had. And, you know, I built a real nice network of people doing that kind of stuff. You know, people in other meetings in different towns started recognizing me, and I started knowing them, and, you know, I'd get phone numbers, and we'd all hang out and go to Denny's after the meeting, or, you know, depending where you're at, what meeting you're at, but we'd all go out to eat and stuff, and I started going to these, like, retreats, conventions, things like that, because what really better did I have to do? You know, the first couple times I came through here, I would hear the GSL report and I'd hear the flyers, and I would say, well, that sounds like really lame. You know, like, I really don't want to get involved in a whole weekend with you people. 1 hour a day is bad enough. Can you please sign my slip a little faster? But, like, I started going to all these things, and, like, when I get there, like, I buy a T-shirt, you know, and now I'm like a collector of them. And now that our Katanning subcommittee for the camp out we have, they actually made me the T-shirt chair because, like, they think I know a thing or two about it, I guess, but that's just me being involved in service. Sometimes it gets burdensome. But, man, life started to change. It really did. Like, rapidly from the time that I actually stopped using, like, throughout my first year clean, like, everything was just changing so fast, man. I started having less desire to go out and chase the easy women. I started getting involved in, you know, organizations, like, in the community. I started going to the gym and, like, working on my fitness. You know, I started getting hobbies back. I started enjoying, like, watching TV. You know, all these things that, like, throughout my addiction, man, I just didn't do. I didn't have time for it. You know, I didn't have time for anything out there. You know, nothing out there mattered to me. It was all about, like, what am I doing right now? What am I doing next? How much money do I have? How much drugs do you have? How many drugs do I have? How much money do you have? Like, it was just an ongoing thing all the time. And, like, now that stuff wasn't nearly as important, you know. Now it was about, you know, how many people can fit in the car on the way to the meeting, you know. It was about, are we staying in town? Are we going out of town? Are we going out to eat after? You know, stuff like that. like, my whole thought process started to change, and, like, you know, I'm grateful for that first year, man. There was a lot of change. There was a lot of stuff that I had to go through, though, with this DUI. Like, I was still on probation, and I was still doing this outpatient. I had to do extra weeks of outpatient, and I hated it. The day that I had to turn myself in at probation, I was, like, afraid that I would run and avoid the problem. So I had a predecessor babysit me for a couple hours, you know, and I'm really glad I did that because it might have turned out differently if I was left to my own devices, you know. Like, I need the program, man. But, like, it's really cool. Like, I started getting through some things clean that ended up being a lot easier than I thought would be clean, because, like, I always thought, like, using and avoiding the problem is always the best way. And, like, today I try to avoid doing things the easy way because I'm usually wrong. It usually causes me more pain in the end than it would if I would just walk through it the first time instead of going around it or stopping and running from it. If I just go through it the first time the right way, you know, the pain is less, you know. And they say, you know, quit trying to look for the easier, softer way, man. Going through the stuff is the easier, softer way to me. I don't know. My life's good now. Like, working some steps into my life, some steps and some traditions into my life, I've just gained so many things, like, beyond just, like, fun stuff, like hobbies and friends. You know, I'm able to make decisions. I'm able to, like, be an adult. I'm able to be responsible. I'm able to be a part of my family today. I'm able to be a son. You know, I'm able to be a friend. I'm able to be a student again. You know, I dropped out of college 3 times in 5 years, and now I'm back. They let me back in, and now I'm a straight-A student, you know, and next week's finals week, and I really should be studying now, but, you know, this is actually more important, believe it or not. It's really cool just being able to be a part of some things today, you know, being able to be a part of something and not having to appear better than everybody. You know, like, some of my problems as a kid, like, showing off was always a big thing for me. I always wanted to have something nicer than what the next guy had, or at least talk up whatever I had to make it seem better than what they had. Like, I just always, you know, just to get that feeling of being accepted by people, you know. And today it's not like that. Like, today I can accept myself, you know. Today I'm an alright person, you know. I'm okay the way I am. I don't have to be any way for any particular person out there. You know, and that's an awesome feeling. It's like, it's indescribable. It really is, you know. I was sharing in a gratitude meeting a little bit, too, about being able to be in the middle of some insanity and still having my own sanity. And, you know, I live life today, man. Like, it's not all 100% NA functions anymore. Like, I actually go out and I do things, you know. And sometimes those things, like, sometimes, I can just see what's going on around me, you know, and I can just say, man, that was me, you know, that person that can't go play baseball with his friends without having a six pack. I would have had a case, you know, and I probably wouldn't have played much, you know what I mean? And, like, I'm able to do things today. It's just really cool. I go to school and, like, I hear all these kids that are a little bit younger than me. They're all, like, you know, 19, 20, 21. They're always talking about the party this weekend or the party last weekend or the party tonight. You know, and I hear this stuff and I just think about, man, whenever I was about the parties, I wasn't even sitting in the class. You know what I mean? I was doing my pre-party at some dude's apartment across town, you know. And, like, class was the last thing I wanted to be in. And, like, today I'm just, you know, I'm there for one reason, and that's to further my education to the best I can. And I learned some things from NA that, like, helped me out be a better student, too. You know, in NA they told me whenever I was new, they told me to sit up front so you can hear the message. You know, and that's how I do it in class. I sit up front the first day. I get to know my teacher. They tell me to, you know, take notes, and I do that. They tell me build a we. Well, I have to have some classmates that are kind of in for the same thing as me and stick with the winners, you know, because there's always the partiers there. And it's all stuff I learned, you know, and I have an advisor, which is kind of like a sponsor, you know. And And they showed me how to do all this stuff, and it makes my life good. You know, it really does. It applies to all areas of my life. I've just come a long way through these steps in this program, and like I have a lot of gratitude for these steps. Like my sponsor shows me the way he did them, and sometimes like I don't like the step that I'm on right now, for instance. It's a step where like I need to actually communicate with people outside the fellowship, and I'm a little slow on doing it. And I don't know what my problem is. My sponsor seems to think that it's not that I'm not motivated. It's just that I'm afraid to hurt people more. And I think he might be right because, you know, whenever I see these people, once in a while they'll bump into me or something, the opportunity comes up, and, like, I just kind of freeze and I don't know what to say because I'm not good at apologizing. You know, it's not that I'm afraid of what their reaction's going to be. It's just that I really don't know how to spit it out sometimes, and I'm afraid that if I say it wrong, I'm going to hurt them worse. And that's difficult for me, but, you know, the steps have just brought me such a good foundation that I can just live life, you know. Sometimes this new life of mine gets a little crazy. Like, sometimes I don't even know how I got to where I am. Like, sometimes, honestly, like, I'm in a relationship with this girl, and, you know, she has less time than me, and she's worked less steps, and I can see a lot of myself in her, and it, like, drives me nuts at, like, how I'm so far along, you know? And then I gotta think, like, I'm still just as close to the drug as she is, but, like, the actions and behaviors that I see in her are the same ones that I had some time ago, and here I am judging now, so what kind of program am I working, you know? And it's like, how do I even get to a point where I can judge other people and, like, not be judgmental towards them, you know? That's crazy. That's crazy. Like, normally I would be calling her out on all her defects and, you know, cussing at her and, you know, causing fights, and, like, today I don't do that. Today I just, you know, accept that she is who she is and we are where we are. And, like, I don't know how I get it. Like, I don't understand how I can behave in a more normal fashion, you know. And it drives me nuts sometimes thinking, like, who is this guy in the mirror, you know? You know, I don't remember this guy. I've never really met this guy until recently, and, like, I'm still getting to know myself. But it's okay being able to accept myself. I don't know, I guess my sponsor's actually going through some things right now, and, you know, I tried calling him today before I came up here, you know, just to say hi and see how he's doing, and I learned from him that, like, we're definitely no better than each other in here because, you know, sometimes he's helping me and sometimes I'm helping him, and it's the same with my sponsees. Sometimes they help me way more than I could possibly do for them. You know, it's all a matter of, like, togetherness, I think, and, like, unity, because sometimes, like, my sponsor, like, is going through some stuff right now, some life on life's terms, and it's rough, and I don't know how he does it, you know, and I know I see him going to a lot more meetings and, you know, using his tools a little bit more, and but when I talk to him, he sounds so frustrated, and it kind of scares me a little bit, and I mean, I'm only human, and it's hard for me not to, like, put expectations on what's going to happen next, but, you know, I just try to be there, man. I just try to, like, keep calling him as much as I can and seeing what's going on. But, you know, he's been really good for me getting through stuff in my life. So, like, I try to be there for him as best I can, and, like, his sponsor, and I communicate with him sometimes, too, and, like, I don't know, it's, I guess I don't really know where I was going with all that, but I just wanted to talk about my sponsor for a minute, because he's kind of in my mind. The program showed me, like, I'm kind of flustered right now, I don't know why, but the program showed me, like, this new way of life, and I'm starting to be able to apply it in all areas of my life. You know, I've quit smoking a few times, smoking cigarettes, that is, couldn't have done that without NA, you know, I've I've just developed this, like, crazy ability to, like, be okay with myself. And I keep talking about that for some reason today. There must be a reason for it. I really don't know why. You know, as I'm sitting up here nervous and, like, not wanting to talk to all you people, but I keep just coming back to that, like, I'm okay with myself, and it's just really weird. But, you know, I made a decision the other day that we're going to go on vacation this summer. Once I get done with my summer classes, I'm going to take a vacation away from, you know, it's not an NA vacation, which I take those about 4 or 5 times a year, but just a vacation, just to go get out and get away, you know. And, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, I actually, like, did some big boy stuff, and I, like, booked a hotel and, you know, mapped out where I got to drive to and looked at some restaurant locations nearby. And I went on NA.org, and I found the meetings that are nearby, so whenever I need to go to a meeting, we'll check it out. And, you know, that's big boy stuff. Like, I've never had to do all that before. Usually it's like, if the family was going on a vacation, I would say, you go without me, I'll stay here and keep your house safe. You know, and I'd keep the keg in the basement and, like, invite everybody over the minute they walked out the door. But, you know, now it's cool. Like, I can actually take a vacation just to get away. I don't know. Life's just been better than it ever was. And, like, I feel like this is just kind of like an extra gratitude meeting for me. That's all I have to talk about is, like, how great life is, because it just truly is. Like, I don't have to worry about getting drugs. I don't have to worry about who I'm ripping off or who I already ripped off or, like, when the cops are going to get me or, like, you know, how if the little crack in the window is too big and they can see in or if they're, you know, if that van down the street has surveillance in it. I just don't have to worry about those things now, you know. And I'm so peaceful. Nothing really seems to bother me anymore. You know, nothing bothers me about me. The things that bother me are things that are hurting, like hurting friends of mine and, you know, people close to me. That's the stuff that bothers me now. And it's just a strange feeling, I guess. I stayed involved in service the whole way through all this, and I'm still involved in service. I kind of touched on this. Sometimes it's a pain in the butt because now I'm like a full-time student, and I have like 3 or 4 committees that I'm on, and I do secretary things to stay involved in the home group and the camp out and H&I, and I do all these different commitments, and, you know, sometimes it's really hard to balance all this stuff in my life. But you know what? That's all that struggle was just bringing me nothing but growth, because now I'm able to, like, use that experience as, like, a tool. You know, now I can, like, learn how to do that stuff outside my life. Like, finals week's coming up, and I got, like, 7 papers to write. And now I know how to, like, do a little bit of one and a little bit of another and then finish one and, you know, get stuff done on time and in proper order so I don't stress myself out. And it's been working beautifully, you know. It really has. I guess I got another thing that's kind of bothering me that I need to share about because it keeps crossing my mind. I had a friend of mine that I used to use with, it was pretty bad. We actually got arrested together one time with, like, you know, a gun and some crack, and we did some jail time together, and then we both tried to get clean around the same time, and then we both failed miserably at it. And then we actually, you know, this time I stayed clean and he stayed clean, you know, a couple years now. And I read his name in the paper like a week ago, and I guess he went back out and got in a car wreck and killed 2 people. You know, and I internalize that because I just think of how easily that could be me. You know, I've known this guy for a long time. He's a good-hearted person. You know, he wouldn't intentionally hurt anybody. In fact, he's saved me from getting beat up by people at least once, I think twice. And, you know, we had words with each other, but, like, he's a good-hearted person, you know, and now he's going to be going to jail for some serious time, you know, for killing 2 people drunk. And I just think of how easily that could be me, because that was how I was. You know, I'm not a violent person. I'm not, like, an angry person. but I do have an ego, and I do always, like, try to wear my Superman cape, and I think that I can handle it, especially when you get some drugs and alcohol involved, and just how quickly, like, a relapse can lead to that whole change of personality again. And, like, I really remember, like, I really, like, I know this guy, and I've known this guy for a long time, and I can, like, feel his pain of what he's going through right now, and I know that guilt, but I don't know guilt like that, you know? And every time, like, we circle up at the end of the meeting and we pray for somebody, like, he's been on my mind a lot. And, you know, real good dude, and he's going to be doing a lot of hard time for it, and a lot of guilt, I'm sure. And, like, I just know that if I would make one bad decision, that could be me just as easily. You know, and I try not to forget that stuff through any time in my program, because sometimes I need those reminders, as bad as it is, like, that's scary stuff, but sometimes I need those reminders because I float on a cloud for a while, and I'll forget, like, what got me here in the first place. And that's one of those things that, like, I just don't want to go back to that life, you know, because I was hurting everybody else. Even if I didn't believe that I was hurting myself, man, I was hurting everybody else around me, you know. So, I don't know. I'm, like, really getting lost with my words tonight. I'd like to apologize and thank everybody that kept paying attention through this, but this 12-step program, Narcotics Anonymous, if I want it, it will guarantee me today clean if I really want it and I really apply it to my life. You know, and there's so much more available in life than the way I was living. And it's about willingness and honesty and open-mindedness and all these things and surrender. And it all starts with that first step, man. That first step of just realizing that, man, I can't use nothing. You know, and I had to live, like I heard someone sharing earlier, like I'm grateful that I had to walk that walk of the wrong road to get to where I am today, because I really couldn't ask for anything better. You know, and I know how quickly it can be taken away, so I got to remember to keep doing the things they told me to do. You know, I have to keep contacting my sponsor, even when he's in a bad place and he can't help offer me much help. I might be offering him help. You know, and I got to keep coming to meetings, and I got to keep showing up on time, and I got to keep using my phone, and I got to keep staying in service, I got to keep praying. I keep trying to do all that stuff to the best of my ability on a daily basis, because that's all I really know. You know, the real simple stuff in here is all I really know. You know, and I can make lots of mistakes, but the one that I cannot make is picking up that first drug. You know, and I just know that, I know for me that as soon as I pick up that first drug, my ego is going to just keep me out of the rooms, and it's going to keep me out there, and I don't want to go back to that because I don't know what could happen. You know, I know I've had some close calls before, but especially with this incident lately, man, I just don't want it to be me, you know. I put a lot of hard work into getting to where I am now, and I'm not willing to throw it away today, you know. So I guess I'm about done. I mean, I hope somebody could relate to something I said, but I feel like I'm just a rambling fool up here today for whatever reason. But you know, if you're new, keep coming. We need you. If you've been around for a while, keep coming. We need you. You know, that's it, man. Hopefully we can do this together and keep coming back. That's all. Thanks.